Lord, this morning we just thank you for that incredible moment in history, Lord, where you came to die for the sin of the world, Lord. We thank you for the cross this morning that we can stand, Lord, again at a crossroads, Lord, at a choice in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you call us and you beckon us. Lord, this morning we can just respond in our hearts, Lord, with thanksgiving, Lord, but Lord, we also just respond with a place, Lord, where we realize, Lord, we've been called to lay down our lives for your purposes. And this morning we thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, where you remind us again of just the greatest moment, Lord, that has affected the whole world, Lord, that the whole world is different because of what you did on the cross and because you came to seek and save the lost. So thank you, Lord, this morning that we can respond to your seeking in our hearts, Lord. We can respond to your calling, Lord. We can respond to your beckoning, God. I thank you just that you really want to say to us again, Lord, that you love us this morning. The reason you died for us, Lord, is because you love us. And so we thank you this morning for your love. We receive it, Lord. God, because it's not a feeling, Lord. Your love wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't nice, Lord. But it was sacrificial this morning. We thank you for that place of the cross. We choose to walk and to live our lives, Lord, with the cross ahead of us. The picture of the cross real to us in our lives, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this morning, Lord. We bless you for your word. We bless you for your presence. Your spirit here that is ready to meet each one of us, Lord. We thank you that you're knocking on the doors of our hearts, Lord. That Revelation 3:20 said that you stand at the door and knock. Thank you that you're knocking at the door of each and every one of our hearts this morning. And that you want to come in and dine with us, Lord. So we choose this morning to open the door to you, Lord. Once again, this morning we choose once again to open that door. Now allow you to come and minister, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may take your seats this morning. It's so wonderful. I think some people need to have a foot massage, so you need to have your feet warmed up. So just turn, take your shoes off, turn to the person next to you and ask them to warm your feet up. No, I'm only joking. We've got enough heat in this place already, so it would be... But it's a privilege this morning to welcome some special people into the house of the Lord this morning. But we've got some special parents this morning. So we're going to ask Neil and Bewu to come up and bring little Nathaniel with them. Because we are going to dedicate him to the Lord this morning. So this is such a special moment. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this moment with us. Those who have come to visit. And those who have come just to enjoy the Lord's presence. So you're going to enjoy dedicating a baby this morning, so we're all going to do this together. So let's just wait for them to come up. Visitors, you're also so welcome here this morning. We're excited to have you guys. Who's visiting us for the first time again? If you can just show us your hands again. A couple of people we saw. Wonderful. Let's give them a hand again. They're special. It's also wonderful to have Brother Sam all the way from Uganda. You will be hearing from him in 2 weeks' time. So please come. He's going to be preaching here. So, it's dedications are always so special because they just remind us again of just, you know, our purpose in life and our calling in life, and that is to become more like Jesus. Amen. Did you know what little Nathaniel's purpose in life is? His purpose isn't just to grow up and to be cute and sometimes be naughty and sometimes give his parents gray hairs or give them joy. That's just part of it. But his purpose is ultimately to become like Christ. And so this morning is a significant moment in his life and also in the life of his parents, because they are choosing today to not to force him to become a Christian, not to put any bondage upon him, but to really say that we trust as parents that he will become like Christ and get to know Christ ultimately and get to know the most incredible sacrifice that was made also for his little life. So come a little bit closer, you guys. You'll have to read from the screen as well. So there's a little picture of Nathaniel Castle. What a name. His name means gift from God. Hey, is that right? Same as Nathan. So, in fact, Matthew as well means gift of God. So there's a lot of gifts of God or gift from God in our midst. So we're just going to say a few words this morning from the screen. In fact, they are going to say that as parents. So I'm going to hand over the mic to Neil and Bear. We're just to declare the fact that they're just dedicating their son to the Lord this morning.
We as parents acknowledge and thank God for this precious gift He has entrusted to us. Before God and His people, we hereby dedicate our son to the Lord. We commit ourselves with God's help in partnership with the church to bring up our son in the love and instruction of the Lord. By word and example, we promise to teach our son the word of God, and with patience and love, we will build the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord in his life. We will protect him from worldly claims upon his life, and make it our regular prayer that, by God's grace, our son may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers.
Amen. Let's give them a hand. Do you guys know what you've just said? They're going to need grace upon grace. For us as parents, we know that to dedicate a son and to raise a son or a daughter, for that matter, in the presence of God, in the fear of God, takes a lot of grace. And so I want to also appeal to us as a church that we also here to support them. They know a lot of you. So pray for them. We're going to pray for them right now. But dedicating a child isn't a thing that we just do. It's not a few words that they've said on the screen now. It's really our heart's commitment to say, Jesus, we want Nathaniel to become like you and to walk in your ways. Because ultimately, he isn't our son, he's your son. But you've given him to us as a gift, and we are the stewards and we are the parents responsible. So we're going to pray for them. I'm just going to say something as well. Is that all that's on the screen, Mariska? Is there anything else there, or is that it? Okay. All the formalities are made very much simple. So we can pray. So I want us all to stand. And in fact, Trevor and Joy are also going to... Do you guys want to pray over them, over the mic, or do you just want to lay hands on them? Or, okay, cool. So I'll just pray a prayer of agreement. If I can ask my wife also to come forward, if someone can look after Nathan there, then we're going to just lay hands on him and also just prophesy over him. So I think let's all stand and commit Nathaniel to the Lord, and also Neil and Bewu, because they're going to need lots of grace to raise him. But we believe he's such a gift to the church. And so let's just pray. And if you have a word for them, we're going to just pray now. And while you're praying, just if you want to share a word with them, please share it with them afterwards. There's going to be some nice coffee and some treats as well, I think. And so please spend time with them afterwards. Bless them. If you feel a word for Nathaniel, we haven't got time to let everyone give a word, but I'm sure if everyone has got a word, it would be wonderful if you could share it with them. But let's just commit little Nathaniel to Jesus this morning. Lord, we want to just thank you for this precious gift that you've given Neil and Bewu, Lord, and that they've trusted you for him, Lord, and you're faithful, Lord, to give Nathaniel to them. And you've, this morning, I sense that you say to them as parents that you entrust them. Lord, you trust them with him, and that's why you have entrusted them with a child, Lord. And we want to come and dedicate him this morning to your purposes, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, that he's going to be a mighty man of valor, Lord. We speak life over him this morning, God. We speak your joy over him. And we thank you, Lord, that he will be a man that brings peace, Lord. But he will also, Lord, go into the storms, God. He will also go into the places where, Lord, no one else would want to necessarily go, but you've called him to bring peace in the storm, Lord. And you've called him even to sleep in the boat, Lord, where everyone else is rocking around, Lord. You've just called him to be like Jesus, to be still and to know that you are God in that boat, Lord. And I thank you that as he walks from place to place, God, that he will bring that incredible peace, Lord, because he's going to have such an authority in the Spirit, Lord. And so we pray for over this gift, Lord, the name that his name means gift, Lord, and we thank you for this gift to the world, Lord, that you haven't only given him as a gift to Neil and Bewu, but Lord, you've given him to a gift to the nations, Lord, and I thank you that you're going to send him to different nations, Lord. He's going to experience, Lord, different cultures, God, and he's going to just be so comfortable, Lord, with the uncomfortable in his life, Lord, in Jesus' name. But it's going to be comfortable because, Lord, he knows you, Lord, and so we thank you for that. We thank you that you'll inspire people, Lord, to really live for you, God. But we thank you that you will bring such peace even in his home, Lord. And I sense he's also going to bring peace to the extended family as well, Lord, that he would be able to testify one day when he's a bit older and when he can speak of you, Jesus, that he will testify just of how you've carried him throughout his life, Lord. And he's going to know you from a young age, Lord, in Jesus' name. We praise you for that, Lord. We speak life over him. We speak protection, Lord, where the devil will want to come and steal from him, Lord. But we thank you right now that we can cover him with your blood, Lord. Because of what happened on the cross, Nathanael is protected, Nathanael is blessed, Nathanael is called of the Lord. Now, in Jesus' name.
God, I just agree with that, and I just thank you, God, that it's really going to be such a blessing to this church as well, God. I just sense that he's going to love people that other people won't want to come near to, God. And I just thank you, God, that he's been sent to us also, God, as a gift. And, you know, we just celebrate him this morning, God. We just celebrate his life, God. We celebrate your Neil and Bear with his parents, God. I just also pray for them, God, for wisdom, for love, Father God, for patience. Thank you, God, that they're going to be proud of this son, God. But I thank you that you will also give them the guidance and the wisdom, God, when to discipline, God, when to, just discipline him in your love, Father God, and according to your word, God. And we just thank you, Father God, that, like I say, it's going to be a blessing and a peace also to this church, Father God. It's going to reach hearts, God, that's hardened. And I just thank you, God, that you're just blessing this morning, God.
Amen. Let's give him a hand. Doesn't he look beautiful? Did you want to say anything else, Neil?
I just want to thank family and friends, family who've traveled far to be here. Lord, just to the Greater Church family for all of your support and your love. And, just want to... And Lord, for this precious gift that he is, and may he bring joy to the lives of many, many people. So we praise you for that, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love dedications. I love ceremonies. Because it just makes us stand still at where the Lord is taking us. And so, as I said before, God's purpose for each one of us is not just to grow up in life. It's not just to have a successful career or to be significant. It's really to become like Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'm going to talk about Nathanael. If my computer will switch on, I want to talk about John chapter 1. So I want us to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1. My computer has decided to restart, so I'll just read from the PowerPoint. Oh, here it comes now. John chapter 1. Reading from verse 43. Jesus is about to call, he started to call his disciples to him, and there's this incredible disciple here called Nathanael that sort of the story focuses a little bit on him this morning. So I want to talk about Nathanael this morning, seeing as we're dedicating Nathanael this morning. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Obviously Andrew and Peter had just been called as well to follow Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and he said to him, "But we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And so Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This week in small group, I asked the people in our small group, I asked them an interesting question. I said to them, Can you describe your current experience of God? If you have to describe your current experience of God, how would you do that? What would you say if you had to just, in a short few words, describe your current experience of God? And it was interesting what came out, and obviously it was tough because, you know, you've only got so much time in a small group, and when you're a couple of people, then it becomes a bit rushed to share exactly. And I said, look, the answer is not supposed to be finalized. Yeah, this is not sort of, you know, any cell group, if the answer and the final answer is given in cell group, then you know it wasn't a great question, okay? But just a tip for cell leaders. If everything's answered in cell group, then, you know, why do we have to go back and wrestle with God? And so I just asked people, and it was interesting what came out, you know, because people just said, well, I can only describe a part of it. I can only describe this because, you know, it's how long do you have? And what I shared was, you know, that God is real and God is close. Those are two words that just, and obviously there's so much more, but for me, I said, you know, how I pray to my children, how I demonstrate to my children who God is in my life, that's kind of who God is, because if He's not real, then you're not going to pray real prayers with your kids or, you know. So a good test for us as parents, and for Neil and Behu, that'll be for you as well, you know, is how real is God to you, because that is what you're going to impart into your children's lives. But I want to ask another similar question this morning. I want to ask, how do you experience God's love? That would be taking a little bit deeper, you know, asking how do you experience God is quite general and it's a huge question, but how do you experience God's love? And so that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to just look at a little bit of the love of God for all people and for specific people, because In this parable, yeah, or in the story that John writes, you know, there's just some incredible stuff. And often we don't really realize, hey, Nathaniel was quite prominent, yeah. There was a little bit of a focus on him, it seemed, just in this piece. And it's only John that writes about Nathaniel. The rest of the Gospels pretty much just say he was another person who followed Jesus, one of the disciples. But yeah, in John, he seems to just stand still and zoom in on the response and just how Jesus came. And Nathaniel came to meet him. I don't know, have you guys watched that movie, God Is Not Dead? Has anyone watched the movie, God Is Not Dead? If you haven't, I want to encourage you. I watched it this week. And just talking about who God is and talking about the love of God, I just was really touched in the movie. Halfway through, or just towards the end, I was just weeping again at just God's incredible love for people, God's incredible love for the world and for whoever, even if they're resistant against Him. I won't give away the movie, but go and watch it. But let's look at who God is. Let's look at God's love this morning. Because guess what, guys? God does not need us. Amen. Did you know that God does not need you? God does not need our church. God does not have a need. God is all sufficient. He's self sufficient. He's, you know, he's fine on his own. He does not need any one of us. And so the question is, why does He care for us then? Have you ever thought about that? Why does He care about you? Why did He die on the cross for you? One reason, because He loves you. Amen? Because He loves you, and He loves every single person. And He loves the whole world. But I want to focus a little bit on God's love for this individual. God's love and how He engaged with this guy called Nathaniel. The first thing that I read out of this passage. Let's read it again. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So just before Nathanael's life, there's a significant guy called Philip in Nathanael's life. It says that he found Philip. Amen. I want to say this morning that God finds people. Love finds people. Love finds you. And love finds me. It's interesting that further on Philip says, but listen, yeah, we found him. We have found him of whom the Bible speaks. But actually, he's not really telling the truth, because, you know, we sometimes say we found Jesus. You know that song, "I found Jesus." But the thing is, we never found Jesus. Jesus found us. And it's amazing. It's not unbiblical to say, "I found Jesus," because, yeah, you know, Philip said, we found him. But it isn't that we found him, because he always has been and was and is to come. So he's always been first. He's never been lost. So he always comes first. He always comes to find us. Amen. Love came to find Philip first. And then Philip said, let's go. And it's interesting to notice the first words that he says to Philip. Doesn't say to him, let's talk about your life. Let's start to sort you out. Let's fix you up. All he says to him is, Philip, follow me. Now, I don't know how long this was. The Bible doesn't say how long it was from when he saw Philip to when he said to him. But it sounds like it's an immediate thing. It said, Philip, follow me. I'm going to show you a few things. And then what happens next? He says to Philip, follow me. And what happens next? Philip immediately finds his friend Nathanael. So I don't know how long that took either. It could have been a couple of hours. It doesn't say. But the important thing to know is Jesus wanted Philip to find someone else. You see, if we follow Jesus and we really experience the fullness of Jesus' heart, you know what we'll do? We will start to find other people and tell other people about His love. When love finds us, love finds others through us. Amen. When love finds us, love finds others through us. And I want you to think about your own story. I want you to think about how did love find you? And Jacobus mentioned it in the worship, you know. Think about your own salvation. Think about if you're saved here today and you know Jesus. How did Jesus find you? Someone must have been praying for you. Someone brought you into His presence. I'm just so thankful the people that were the Philips in my life. Because after Philip was found, then he immediately said, Nathanael, we've got to go and meet this guy. And I want to say this morning to Neil and Bewe that love will find your son. I want to speak it over him. Love will find him. Because what you've done this morning is so powerful. It's still his choice. And we've got to pray. You cannot force him to become a Christian. But none of us, I trust, were forced to become Christians. And maybe this morning you're here and you were forced to become a Christian because your parents were Christians and they said, you know, you're part of the people of God. Now you've got no choice. But I want to say this morning that if love does not find you, you will be lost. Amen. If Jesus does not find you, you will remain lost. Because that's who Jesus is. His love is so incredible that He comes to find us. And so I want to release people of so much bondage in trying to find Jesus, trying to follow Jesus, trying to do a lot of stuff. I want to say this morning that love is greater than that. Amen. Love has come to find you and love will continue to seek you. All your life. Because that's who Jesus is. And then it's interesting. Nathanael goes on. And so Philip said to Nathanael, listen, you know, I found Jesus and Jesus found me. And come, you've got to see. You've got to see. And Nathanael immediately says, listen, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's like, Nazareth is like the worst place. There's just so much junk there. It's not a cool place. I come from Cana because he was from Cana in Galilee. And so what is this? Why would Nazareth have anything good come out of it? And Philip is amazing. He doesn't argue. He doesn't say, listen, I'm going to prove something. He just says, come and see. And then Nathanael seems to respond. He doesn't have anything else to say. And so he obviously comes with him. And then it says that Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. And he said of him the following. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. So even though Nathanael doesn't respond positively, he's a bit skeptical, so he probably goes because, this guy, there's something exciting in his life, and I better go and see, but I really can't think that anything great is going to come out of Nazareth, really. But let me go and see, out of a bit of, you know, inquisitiveness. And so what happens? When Nathanael responds, then Jesus sees him. And when Nathanael is brought into the presence of that love, then everything in his life changes. Why? Because first of all, Jesus sees him. Jesus sees the incredible potential. And it's amazing. The first thing he says to Nathanael is, listen here, there's something good in you. You're a man of integrity. Yes, there's lots of stuff that we can change. But Jesus doesn't even focus on that. Jesus says immediately, look, this is a man of integrity, a man who's upright, an Israelite indeed. He's true to his word. So I want to say this morning that love sees people, and love sees you this morning. What do you think Jesus, when he sees you this morning, what do you think he says of you? Do you think the first thing he says of you is, oh, look at that sinner. He needs to be saved. He needs to be changed. He needs to be, you know, panel beated a little bit because there's a lot of mess in his life. I don't believe he sees that first, because he knows that anyway. He knows a lot of things, but I believe what he sees first in your life is the potential in you and the good things that the Father has placed in your life. Amen. So I don't know how you see yourself this morning, but I want to say that love in the form of Jesus Christ sees incredible stuff in your life. He sees that you're a person of integrity. He sees that your strong point, whatever your strong points are, he sees that and he recognizes that and he celebrates that. Isn't that amazing? Love sees and then love celebrates. And you see, in our culture in South Africa, and I know I'm part of it, okay? I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm like Isaiah. I realize I'm just the typical South African because I see the negative first. I'll tell my wife, why isn't, you know, like I come back from Caramello's this morning. We had church there. Sam brought an awesome word. Lives were changed, impacted. And so I come back and then the first thing I say is, you know, why aren't the kids ready for church already? Why, you know, why are you a little bit late this morning? Because, you know, we want to go. Instead of seeing incredible stuff that she's already done, you know, she's made up herself and she's, you know, ready to give the kids food and all that. But the first thing I often see is like, What's not right? Anyone can identify with that? So Jesus doesn't see like that. Jesus sees the great things first. Amen. And yes, I'm going to change you. And yes, you're a sinner and you need to come to me. But he doesn't see that first. What he celebrates first is Nathaniel's incredible potential. Because love can see. And we can't always. We often see the negative. So Jesus acknowledges the gifts and the strength of character. And guess what it does? It opens Nathaniel's heart to receive from Jesus. It opens his heart. And so, I'll never forget a friend of mine in Somerset West. He's a pastor. He's in the ministry. He taught me this thing about celebration, because so many times we don't celebrate. We see good things and, you know, that's supposed to be the norm, you know. And we don't celebrate it. And it's incredible this morning. We're celebrating a gift. He's not just part of the Castle family, just the first kid. Let's go on, you know. We'll have another one. He's a gift. Let's stop here and let's celebrate his life. Let's celebrate the fact that his purpose is to become like Christ. And so celebration is so important. And so even in just the things we say, it talks about, do we celebrate? And this friend of mine is so amazing. He just celebrates everything in my life, and he taught me to celebrate other people and to focus on the good things in other people. And it changed my life. Because every time I see him, I just know, yeah, comes a positive word. This guy's got something good to say about me. He's excited about what God is doing in my life. And Jesus wants us to be like that. He wants us to celebrate others and to see the good things first before we see the stuff that we have to change. Because yes, there's always going to be stuff that we're going to have to change. So when love sees, love celebrates. And so listen to Nathaniel's response. He goes on and he says to Jesus, he says, but how do you know me? You've now kind of said things that I can identify with, because yes, I'm an Israelite indeed, and I'm a man in whom there's no deceit. You know, imagine Jesus says that to you. You will agree with that. Yes. How did you know that, Jesus? I'm this cool guy. You know, I'm going for it. And then Jesus answered him and said, and gives him another word of knowledge. Just blows him away. The knockout punch. And he says, listen here, before Philip even called you, in fact, your whole life, I've seen exactly where you've been and what you've done. I saw you. I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And he's like, that is so accurate. So Nathaniel's life has changed and he has a revelation. But this is not just a normal person. This is just a normal guy telling him his life story. You see, you know what's so scary but awesome about Jesus and about love Is that love knows your every move. Love knows where you've been. Love knows what you've done. Love knows what you're currently doing. Love knows every single challenge that you're going through. Love knows your whole life. Because He's been there all along. Jesus has been there all along. And so I want to say this morning, love does not only come to find you. Love does not only see the potential and see the great things in you. But love has seen every single move in your life. Because love knows. Love knows where you have been and where you currently are. Love knows what you have done, what you are currently doing. Love knows what has happened to you and what is busy happening to you. He knows. One of the biggest questions when the Twin Towers fell in 2001 and when the tsunami came in a couple of years later, all these massive disasters, one of the questions that people were asking is, where is God in all of this? Why is God not here? Has God left? Anyone heard those questions? You know, when tragedy hits, where is God? God has been there all the time. God was right there in the tragedy. God saw every person falling to their death. God was there. He was not absent. And maybe you're asking this morning, you know, where was God in my disaster? Where was God when my life started to fall apart? And maybe your heart has become hard towards God or towards situations or towards people, whatever it is. But I want to say that love knows exactly what has happened in your life. Love knew what was happening in Nathaniel's life. And love knew where he came from. And when we have that revelation, when we see that God has seen everything, God has been there, God has got the answer for your life, then you start to realize, I need to surrender. Amen. So I want to say this morning, we need this revelation of Jesus like Nathaniel had. And what is his response? He said, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are the King of Israel. And for us today, we don't say he's just the King of Israel. We say he's the King of the universe. Amen. We sang about him this morning. Because he knows. He's come to find you. He's come to look at you and to see you. And he's come to know you. He wants to know you. In fact, he does know you already. It's just about, do you know him? And are you going to be like Nathaniel this morning and just respond again to that love? Love knows. And so Nathaniel, or Jesus carries on with his conversation. Yeah, And then he says, Nathaniel, this is awesome. You have seen something here. The fact that you've confessed that I'm the Son of God, I am the King. I don't want to boast in myself and come to promote myself here. But you have seen it. But then he says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. That is amazing, Nathaniel, that you believe just because of those words I've said. So he's impressed with Nathaniel's childlike faith. And he says, you know, because you believe, because you simply responded to the incredible word of knowledge that I had for you, you're going to see much greater things than these. And then he makes him a few promises. He says, first of all, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see greater things through the gifts of the Spirit in your own life. Because the same gift that's operating in me, it's going to operate in you. So you're going to see greater things than these. And isn't it amazing? Jesus said the same thing to all his disciples later on. He said, you know, I've got to go away. Because you're going to do greater things than what I did. Because I'm going to send you the Spirit. And then he says another thing to him. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you're going to see heaven open. You're going to see angels of God moving up and down on the Son of Man. It's not like it's a physical thing. He said, you're going to see into the Spirit and you're going to see miracles happening through my life. And guess what happened just in chapter 2? First miracle in the place where Nathanael came from. In Cana of Galilee, Jesus multiplied or turn the water into wine. And he says, this is what you're going to see, Nathaniel. While I walk on this earth, you're going to see this. You're going to see revelation upon revelation. You're going to know that I'm truly what you have seen me to be. You've responded that I'm the Son of God. And you know what? You're going to see that. Just because you've chosen to believe. See, love comes to promise us a lot of things. Love comes to give us revelation. And one of the great promises of God is the gift of the Spirit, and ultimately not just to have the gift, you know, because we've got the gift often, you know, we're spirit-filled, we call ourselves spirit-filled believers, but do we have this revelation of who Jesus really is and who he was on earth? Do we have this revelation of the Spirit moving and seeing into the Spirit and seeing spiritual things? Because I believe Nathaniel could see the power of God at work in Jesus' life and realizing this is what Jesus has come to accomplish. And you know what? I can be part of that. I can be part of what Jesus came to do on this earth. Love promises us a dimension of life far greater than our natural abilities. Because love promises. Love is good. Love gives good gifts. And I remember, I want to ask you this morning. Well, let me tell you the story. When I got baptized, you know, I knew the Lord for 9 years and I was walking with Him. But, I didn't make much of a difference to people because I couldn't testify. I was a very shy person. When I went through the waters of baptism, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It happened sort of around the same time through a process because sometimes, you know, our hardened hearts take time for God to really get through to us. But when I came out of the waters of baptism, I'll never forget how God gave me a promise. And He says, you know what? Your life will bear fruit. That's all He said to me. He says, your life is going to bear fruit. You're going to make a difference. And that was so cool for me because I felt as a Christian that I'm not making a difference. I'm walking with the Lord, but I'm not touching any other lives. I'm not really meaning much. You know, it's me and Jesus. And yes, I'm going to heaven and it's awesome. But I became frustrated because I realized I'm not called just to go to heaven. Amen. I'm called to know what are the promises of God for my life. And since then, He's given me so many more promises. He gives promise upon promise upon promise. And so this morning, I want to ask you, what is the promise of God that He's given you? Do you know, Neil? Do you know, Yanni? Do you know, Leopold? Dolph? Dion? Do you know, Talitha? Do you know the promises, Scarpa, of God? Do you know His promises at this time? Because His love is so incredible for you that He's not going to leave you without promises. He said to Nathaniel, you're going to see this. I promise you. Truly, truly, I say to you. And sometimes we don't walk by the promises of God. And so we just survive. Amen. We're just happy with the scraps. We're happy that love comes to see us and find us and know about us. But you know, we never walk to the last one. We never experience the promises of God where God says, I want to do stuff through your life. So I think it's important for us as Christians to, at this time, ask God, what are the promises that He has for us? But it comes from a revelation. It comes when we've encountered God and we've realized He is the Son of God. He's the only one. Nothing else satisfies in my life. Because that's what Nathaniel confessed. He says, you are the king. And we're looking for a lot of other kings. And the Jews can't wait for a king to come and help them be released from the Romans. But he said, you know what? You're the king, Jesus. And however you can establish your kingship, it's up to you. But I just realize you're the king. And I want to follow you. And we know Nathaniel followed Jesus. Nathaniel was one of the disciples that got killed, got martyred. All of the disciples went through incredible martyrdom for the cause of Christ. Because they had an encounter and they had a revelation of who God is. Love comes to find us. And love will continue to come to seek and to search for you. Doesn't matter how bad you think you are. Doesn't matter how far you've moved from God. God is still faithful to come to find you. But you see, sometimes you need a Philip in your life. Sometimes you need a Philip to come and bring you back to the presence of God. Amen. Now, some of you need a Philip in your life. You're a Nathaniel, but you need a Philip to say, come. I know you think nothing good is coming out of Nazareth, but there's something good here. Come and see. Some of you need to be the Philip to bring a Nathaniel into the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's why we're having this harvest month, and I want to encourage you. I think you guys got flyers at the doors. We're having this harvest month because of the fact that we realize God so loved the world. Amen. But God so loved the individual, guys. And that's what's powerful about the story. God loves the individual. He loves Nathaniel. He loves all His disciples, and He loves a lot of people, but He comes to zoom in on the one person. And that one person's life has changed. And each of us have got a story where we were that one person where Jesus zoomed in on us and He still zooms in on you. But it's just amazing when you first get saved, you like really feel like you're the only one. When you first get saved, you're like, everyone else just doesn't matter. I'm saved here now, you know, if you really get saved. I remember a friend of mine in Stellenbosch, he got saved. He was an engineer and he had a lot of bad CDs and posters, and he used to worship Michael Schumacher, and he had like Michael Schumacher all over his wall and like weird heavy metal music, and And he got saved one night. The pastor made an altar call. It was the message was actually called Harvest Time, the title of the sermon. And he came forward and he was like shaking like this. He just wanted more of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You go and pray for him." I'm like, "No, Lord, someone else." This guy's like weird. He's like shaking. And I knew this guy, and he was this very in your face type of a bold person, you know, not going against the Lord, but drinking and doing all the stuff that students in Stellenbosch do when they're not saved. And so I thought, "No, Lord, someone else, no, you pray for him." And so I prayed for him that night, and he was so hungry for the Lord. He was like hugging the guys around him there, standing in the front. And that night I prayed for him. After we went to the back and just prayed, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. I didn't even ask him, "Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" He started to speak in tongues. Because so I was like praying in tongues and trying to think of what must I pray now to lead this guy to Christ, although I led him to Christ. But then he just started to speak in tongues. And that next week, he said he ripped all his posters off. He threw away everything that wasn't of God. He chucked away all his heavy metal music. And he said, "When are we going to Bible school? I want to come to Bible school on Tuesday with you. And then cell group on Wednesday. And wherever there's a church meeting." And he thought he was the only guy that was saved. He would offend a lot of people as well, because Jesus was awesome to him. Lots of people didn't want to hear. But I realize, you know, when love comes to find someone, it's just amazing. It's just incredible when someone gets radically saved like that. Another friend of mine, he's a pastor now. He was in London. He was lying on his bed, and he said he was at a very bad place in his life. And he just cried out to God. And he said he felt the Holy Spirit come upon him like, you know, the 95 World Cup when Stransky kicked that drop goal and we won like that. He said that feeling times a thousand, like, that feeling of the Holy Spirit just come upon him, pins and needles all over his body. He surrendered his life to Christ. And it's such a weird story, but he became so radical that he didn't want people. He drew a line, like people used to come and visit him, and he said, "You know, my name's not Tiens anymore." It happened to be Tiens Po. He's the pastor of Franschhoek. "My name's not Tiens. I'm a soldier of God." And he didn't allow people to come close to him. He like drew a line in the kitchen. When people came to visit, he used to stand in the kitchen like that, and they had to like stand afar from him, because he's like a soldier of God, and don't come too close to me. Like, and he's the friendliest pastoral type of guy. He really loves people. But when God saved him, he had this incredible encounter with the Lord. His love came to find him when he was down. Love came to find him. And it's the same with this other guy. Why did I mention that? Oh, I was getting onto the harvest thing. That's right. So for those, you know, when I saw those guys getting saved, I witnessed it. Or the one guy obviously had a very close encounter with the other guy. I heard his story. So, but then I got excited again about the harvest, and I got excited about the individual coming to Christ. And so our harvest month this month is really that we're going to trust God together as a church. That we, because we know this love, that finds people, this love that sees people, this love that knows everything about every person, and this love that has got so many promises for each one of us. But you know what? There's so many more people that need this love. Amen. So I want you to put your faith together with me that we invite people into the presence of this love. That we be the Phillips to invite that Nathaniel that will change the world into the presence of the King. Because love is just so incredible. And so I want to close off this morning and say that God loves the whole world, but He's interested in each and every individual out there. Because sometimes we can get so tied up with, "Oh, there's masses of people, Lord, where do you start?" But you know what? The individual's important to God. And I know some of us know individuals that need Christ, and we're going to trust. And if they don't get saved now, that's fine. But Lord, we want them to experience you as the Son of God, the King of the world. But it's important, first of all, that we experience God's love. And out of the story, I just see that Jesus came to demonstrate love right here on earth. He came to physical, real people, and He came to show them who He was. And then He went to die on the cross for each one. And He had to have fights with them, because they wanted Him to rule like they wanted. And He said, "You know what? I'm going to rule differently. I'm going to rule out of a place of serving. I'm going to die on the cross." And each one of those disciples, Nathaniel included, went to the cross for Christ as well. Lay down their own lives for the sake of the gospel. Because they had an encounter with the King of Israel. It's such an incredible love. It's a love that finds the individual. It's a love that finds you. It's a love that sees you, and He celebrates the potential, not only in you, but in every person. It's a love that knows without even being known. Amen. Nathanael didn't know anything about Jesus. Nathanael had never met him, but he knew him. And I want to say this morning that he knows everything about you. And everything about the people that you're also trusting him for. And it's a love that promises abundant life. So I want to ask you this morning, to end off, I want to ask two questions. Will you allow Jesus to redefine you this morning? Will you be the Nathanael to say, Jesus, I haven't seen you fully yet. You're not really the king of my life. I've given my life to you, but Lord, there's so many other things that have become king. So many other things that have become more important. And I believe God wants to redefine who he is in your life. Because you haven't found him, and I want you to stop striving. I believe God is saying, stop striving to try and have a relationship with me. I am going to come and find you. And I'm knocking on your door, and I'm seeking, and I know you. I see exactly your challenges. I see your life. I see your weaknesses. I see your struggles. And you know what? I know everything. But I want to come, and I want to give you promises when you encounter me. Because he's too in love with you. He loves you too much to leave you just as you are. Amen? That's the great thing about God. God, his love is there, but you know, his love becomes real to us when he changes our lives. And he's been changing my life lately. Like, I thank him for his goodness towards me. Thank him for his goodness towards so many in our church. And I know you're also a part of it, experiencing his love. And then lastly, the second question, will you share this love with others? Will you share this incredible love that came to find you, that sees you, that knows about you, and that's given you so many promises? Will you come and bring other people and share that love with other people? Just as this morning, Neil and Bewe have brought their son into the presence of the King, knowing that he can't fully make a choice yet, but one day he's going to make a choice and say, Father, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And then the promises will come to pass in his life, and they will witness it, and they will be blessed. Will you come and bring other people into the presence of the King? Will we dedicate more spiritual babies in the presence of the King this month? I'm trusting for that. Will more people get baptized this month? Trusting for that. Some of you need to be baptized, yeah. You need to be obedient and go through the waters of baptism, because it changed my life. Not the water. Okay, it was cold it was hot. I got baptized in the summer. My wife got baptized in Scotland in the winter. It changed her life, the water. It was very cold. But the water doesn't change our lives, okay? The goosebumps don't change our lives, but when we commit to Christ and we give up our lives for Christ and we say, I'm surrendering, I'm giving over, you know what? That changes your life. Christ changes your life. So some of you need to be baptized. Some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you cannot have the promises of God, because the Holy Spirit is the promise. Amen? We're not going to have the promise. We're not going to read the word properly if we don't have the promise of the Spirit. He's the down payment. He's the promise that he's coming back. That Jesus is coming back. So some people need to surrender to the Holy Spirit this morning. Some people need to surrender just to Jesus again. Because you know the Spirit, and you're Spirit-filled, and you're walking with Jesus a long time. But Lord, I want to know your love. Real for me. Because my heart is so hard, Lord. I've lost that first love. I need to come back. I want to have a Nathanael experience, Lord. That I can never walk away from you again. I'm one of your disciples. I'm one of your mighty men that will change the world. If you really want that this morning, Jesus is here to give that to you. Amen. So I want the band to come forward this morning. We're gonna have some communion now. We're gonna fellowship over the broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ this morning. But I don't want us to just have another communion service. I don't want us to just take communion again and, you know, it's the first of the month, so we'll have communion. I want us to consider what we're doing. What are we really doing with Christ? With the revelation that we have, the little bit of revelation that we have. Because if we don't be faithful with a little bit of revelation, God cannot give us more revelation. And some of you need to be obedient. I feel the Spirit saying, God has given you certain revelation. He's given you instructions to do. And he's not going to give you more. And you want more. But I can tell you the promises of God will remain until you be obedient to that. And the next one will come when you're obedient to the previous one. How can God give you more promises if he can't trust you with the promises he's already had? So I want you to really this morning, with the presence of God, yeah, the Holy Spirit is here to meet with us. And he's so holy, he's so awesome. As we take these elements, we just realize again the power of Christ. Amen. The power of the cross. So I want you to close your eyes right now. If you've received communion, I want you to close your eyes. If you're still waiting, then open them, that the usher doesn't have to knock you and worry you when you're in the when you're just having some time with the Lord. Let's just close our eyes if we've received communion, and we just consider what we're holding in our hands. It's like Jesus right here. Because he says, do this every time you remember me. Do this. Remember me. Remember Jesus. I came. I walked this earth. I spoke to people. And one of them was Nathaniel. And his life was changed. In fact, all the disciples' lives were changed. Because I spoke to them. But I saw them with eyes. I have these eyes, you know. And the fact that I just realized again, the whole thing of seeing. You know, Jesus sees. Jesus got incredible eyes. I remember speaking to a pastor in India when we went on a mission there, and he just said one thing, that he had an encounter with the Lord. He was a Hindu, and he was one of the kings there, one of the gods, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and one thing he'll never forget is the eyes. He said he cannot describe it. He had this vision or this incredible revelation of the eyes of Jesus. His eyes were so full of love, so focused and so holy, but yet so full of love. I want to say this morning, those eyes are looking at you, each one of you this morning. Those eyes are looking, because he's already found you. The fact that you're here this morning, you're in the presence of the King, you're here. It's not like Jesus only here, he's all over. But the fact this morning, there's a holy moment right now. Just as we dedicate this beautiful baby, there's a holy moment for each one of us spiritually. There's a consecration moment, a dedication moment now. Because those eyes have found you. Jesus has found you. But he sees you. He's looking at you, and he so loves you. And as he looks at you, he wants to say, I know your hurt, I know your pain, I know everything that you've been through. I want to sort it out, but I want you to follow me, because that's what I chose. I asked my disciples one thing, is to follow me. And in doing that, their lives were changed daily. Because that wasn't the only encounter Nathaniel had. I'm sure he had many other encounters. But it was the start of many. So Jesus, this morning, thank you that your eyes of love are looking at us, Lord. Your arms of love are drawing us, Lord. Father, thank you that you're an incredible Father. You're an incredible God. You're so holy and so awesome, but yet you come to meet us on our level. This morning, we just come to surrender our lives to you, Jesus. So you love each of us, Lord. You died for the whole world, but Lord, you died for each one of us. We're special to you this morning. I want you to thank the Lord this morning. I want you to say to him, thank you, Lord, that I'm special to you.